Mary is on the line. Mary, Frank raised the issue earlier on about state bureaucracy and how there'll be catch 22s. He was talking about this new N plate. But Mary, you've spotted something else with the Fair Deal scheme, which is aimed to help people who are going into nursing homes. But you say there's a catch 22 in it, Mary. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe. Yeah, as I said in my email, my mother's suffering from Alzheimer's and in fairly late stages, and was admitted to a nursing home about 8 months ago after many years at home, being looked after by ourselves, you know, the family, paid care and a small bit of state support a few hours a week. And but she had a very serious fall late last year and was in Bowman for a number of weeks, well, 9 weeks, while we were waiting to get her a place in a nursing home. Mm-hmm. It's clear now that she will, you know, end her life there, so her house is left idle. And given that she has to contribute a reasonable amount a week on top of her Fair Deal, we thought we would go down the road of renting out her property. And we put some money into it as well, because it wasn't really rentable at the time.
Okay.
There was a number of things, like from a health and safety point of view, that had to be looked at. And we did that. And stupidly, really, we really should have looked at the fine print of the Fair Deal conditions and the Revenue Commissioner's rental income area. And it turns out that it really just isn't a runner, because I think she'd net something like certainly less than €200 a month out of, a base figure of €1,000 a month to rent the house. You know, and given the whole, the cost of, the possible costs, you know, attached to having tenants in terms of breakages and things breaking down or whatever, it just isn't tenable. So to all intents and purposes, it's mothballed now and sitting there, you know, a fine family home, just sitting there.
So
really.
What would you lose on the Fair Deal if you did rent out your mother's house?
Well, what they would do is they pay €290 a week towards, she pays both her pensions, and she also pays an excess of €130 a week from her savings. Mm. So that would increase her contribution, because they would assess €800 a month as income. So I haven't got the figures in front of me, but suffice it to say that it just would not, it would actually increase her own, the figure that she has, to the extent that the net result would be that she would gain about €200 a month from the rental of the property. And then the Revenue Commissioners also have, they would come in. Now, they don't take into consideration that she's already been assessed by the HSE. They would take the €1,000 a month as her rental income as well. So, do you know what I mean? That the only break they give is on the property tax. They would give her a break on the few hundred euro a year that she pays for the property tax.
So you're saying, all things considered, you've decided it's better for you to leave the house idle.
But that's the position now, bar us going down the road, which we are given some consideration to go and making her award a court, which we really didn't want to do, because we never put in place, when she was in her senses, really the whole enduring power of attorney. So we'd have to go through the whole award a court process. The house would be sold, and any, you know, the funds from it lodged with the Ward of Court office, and it left there really until such time as Mam would pass away.
But if the house was sold, does that not mean the
then we're back into the whole
Fair Deal.
HSE would say, you know, we want more money off you then as well. Now, I mean, the most important part of my email, I was talking to your researcher, was the issue that there's no suggestion that we would think that, you know, she should have the full benefit of the income, because, like, given the situation in the country now and tax or whatever. But I just thought that the assessment of 80% of her income was quite harsh, really, by the HSE. You know, that there is no disregards at all. They only, as I said, they only disregard her property tax, which, like, the value on the house isn't huge, would be just a few hundred euro a year.
So that property, which, obviously, given the other calls we get about the dearth of rental properties available, especially in our cities, that property is being mothballed.
It's been mothballed as such, yeah. I mean, and it's, I mean, very much ready to go. I mean, the bubble wrap is on the new, we had it rewired and, you know, all the smoke alarms put in, and it's just painted and carpeted. But it really, you know, we all work full-time in the family as well, and we wouldn't be in a position to kind of do the whole sort of property management end of it. Do you know what I mean? Like the way landlords have somebody looking after it, that would be another cost attached to it as well. It just isn't tenable. Just isn't tenable at all, really, you know? I mean, it would only take a phone call from a tenant to say the washing machine is broken down or the gas boiler has sat down for then to become almost like a cost. Do you know what I mean?
Hmm. By the way, you're in the civil service, so you haven't, you have, as everyone has, but you have access to finding out more about all of this in terms of even asking people directly. So you're happy that this is, I know you're unhappy, but you're clear that this is a situation, that there is a catch-22 here.
Well, I made the phone call to the lady who I have to say, are the Fair Dee people in Ballymun are absolutely brilliant, and I ran it by her when it became clear to us that we might be up against a problem, and she confirmed the HSE position. Now, my information from Revenue is really just online, going through the whole rental income from property website, you know, that part of the website.
The Revenue wants, if you earn any money, no matter how, Revenue wants a share of that.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. And that's what, like, I made that point. I agree that should be the case, but... It just, you know, it's like almost like there's no joined up thinking in terms of the HSE and Revenue. Their Revenue would take the full rental income of €1,000 a month as her income, where in fact it would really be €200 a month because the HSE have already assessed, you know, 80% of it before that. I just wondered. I mean, I don't know whether it's a one off, but I just thought given the number of people. Now everybody's living longer and nursing homes are full. There has to be people have vacated houses to go into nursing home care. You know, I just wondered, not a way out, but are we just a minority or is that happening? You know, it's an interesting point, really. You
and
know?
As I say, the other element is here's a house you've done up for rent and it's not worth your while to rent it out. Mary, thanks indeed. 51551.
Okay.
And regards to your mother above all. And as she said, she's suffering from Alzheimer's, unfortunately. Roisin has contacted us as well. Roisin, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Joe.
It's rental accommodation, but it's the other end. Are you about to be evicted? Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I've basically been renting a house in Dublin for the past 4 years, myself, my partner, and my three kids. And we were informed by our landlord maybe 3 or 4 months ago that when our lease is up in October, they are raising the rent by at least €200 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And we're on rent allowance and that they no longer want to accept rent allowance. So we assumed that because of the time frame and the notice that we would be okay, and we have been looking for somewhere to live ever since. However, because of the fact that we're on rent allowance, basically nobody will rent to us, and because there's such a big gap between what the rent allowance allow you to pay for a property and what the rental properties are, we are basically stuck that in 8 weeks we have nowhere to go.
And even saying that, Roisin, and I accept that, have you looked at any other options?
I've tried a lot of things. We've been in touch with a lot of different agencies and different charities and different types of things. And the only kind of suggestion that we've been given, we went to a local councillor in our area, and the two suggestions that they've given us is, one, up sticks and move out beyond maybe, say, Bobrigan or Meath or Navan or somewhere like that, where their landlord's apparently more willing to accept rental allowance. Or the other thing is to... just stay in the property and force the letting agency into bringing us through the eviction process, which would basically, they're trying to say, maybe give us another 6 to 9 months in the house. But it's not very tenable to do that when you've got a young family.
And I presume, Roisin, if you stayed in the house, I'm not saying in your case, but if you're staying in a house when you've been told to leave and given the proper notice or whatever, the landlord, are they entitled to come up and say, listen, when are you leaving? Like, harassment is the wrong word, but the landlord is entitled to...
Our life would be extremely difficult. I think, I don't know if the landlord would have the right to actually come in and actually remove us, if you know what I mean.
No, he's not yet. But the insecurity, he doesn't have that right, of course, but the insecurity would still be there, wouldn't it?
Well, absolutely. No, I mean, I think you'd also be afraid that if yourself and your whole family left the house one day, you might come back and your locks would be changed, or that, you know, you wouldn't kind of gain entrance again or whatever. I think the bigger problem is that I understand that with, you know, economic downfall, everything changed and rents came down, and obviously the country is in trouble with money and stuff like that, but there's such a big gap between... how high the rents have become and how little life and money has actually changed in itself. And like I said, we feel that we're being discriminated against just for being on rent allowance, because if you go on to Daft, I mean, there's like 17,000 properties in Dublin for rent, and I think there's about 11 of them are willing to accept rent allowance.
I guess. Anyway.
And basically any of the agencies that we've gone to, you know, Focus Ireland, Simon Community, and everything else, and sadly, none of them can help us until we actually are homeless.
But Roisin, you mentioned you have three children. Are they, so they're school-going age.
So I have 7.5-year-old twins who will be going into second class in September, and my youngest is 4.5, who is due to start school in September.
So you're talking,
the other big problem that we have is, do we buy uniforms, school books and everything else for the school that they've been going to, and then be told in 8 weeks when we end up wherever, and whether it could be sheltered accommodation or anything, do we then have to repay all of that to send them to a new school?
And can you get them into a new school?
And can we get them into a new school?
Yeah.
Because most places are full when it comes to September. So we feel that we're very stuck between a rock and a hard place, and we don't really have anywhere to go.
Well, just to come back to this notice you got from, because it's very, I know they're entitled to, not entitled, I know they can do it.
Yeah.
But for a landlord to come along and say, oh, by the way, come September, your rent is going up, that's 200 quid. That's some confidence they have in the market. Did you not have was your lease expired anywhere, or did you have a lease? Or?
Yeah, well, we basically, every year, we sign a new contract every year. We had a year-by-year lease. And actually, last year, they had promised to enter into what's called RAS, the Rental Accommodation Scheme, with us. And we did some works in the house and everything, which we did at our own cost as well, to bring the house up to the standard of what we needed for RAS. And on the day that the contract was to be signed, she pulled out, and we received the notice then, maybe 2 weeks later, that as of from the 4th of October, when the lease was up, that the rent would go up by €200 a month.
And the market has changed dramatically as well, as we know, in the last
12 months
in Dublin, changed dramatically. Sue Gogan, you want to make a quick point about security of tenure?
That's right. I moved to Sligo from Dublin 5 years ago and rented a house on a housing estate. Mm-hmm. There were an awful lot of vacant properties on the estate at the time. And now my home has had a receiver appointed to it. It turns out that the landlord who I was renting from, he owned two other properties as well, and both of them are in receivership.
And what does that mean? Are you being told to leave?
That's right. I've received termination of my tenancy. I'm supposed to vacate 10th of October.
And you've no rights?
Well, I don't have a right to a home. The receivers, you know, seems to be entitled to ask me to vacate because the bank want vacant possession. And I'd initially contacted RT yesterday in relation to this problem because there'd been a representative on from a rural resettlement program.
Yeah, Jim Connolly, yeah.
And he was saying that he's been contacted by quite a number of homeless people in Dublin who are looking to move out of Dublin. And I would just query the security or the wisdom of that perspective he's put in, because at the moment there are about 40,000 buy-to-let properties in mortgage arrears, and about 6,000 have had receivers appointed to them. So that's an awful lot of tenants now who are getting eviction notices.
Well, people are being squeezed. You heard Roisin there. She's in Dublin. She's been told if you want to stay within your rent allowance threshold, because, you know, if you go over your rent allowance threshold, if you say, I'll add 100 quid to it, you lose your rent allowance full stop. If you tell social protection that. But people are being squeezed at the other end, and they're being told, go down the country.
Yeah, but the problem is really that the government, since 1988, has reduced its social housing building programme. Mm-hmm. There were, before 1988, there were like between 7,000 and 8,000 houses or units being built every year, and that was reduced to between 700 and 800. And for the last few years, I don't think any social housing units were built. There's about 300,000 Irish citizens living in the private rented sector, and that sector is essentially governed by the markets. So the government has really just let the markets dictate housing policy for nearly 20% of its citizens, and that's not an acceptable situation. I would say that we really need to have a moratorium on evictions. We need to be looking to local authorities to exercise their power to compulsory purchase.
Yeah,
pardon me?
You can't have a moratorium on evictions in this country because it's embedded in our constitution about the rights to private property. It is embedded in our constitution. So government, even if they wanted to, could not introduce a law overnight saying no evictions. They couldn't. Now, we could, by the way, we could change the constitution. It's been argued before we should change the constitution on property rights, but that's another day's argument.
Well, no, I completely agree, yeah. Joe. And the Constitutional Convention, they recommended that we have a referendum on social rights, which would include the right to shelter, the right to water, right to physical and mental health. And I mean, you were discussing mental health on the programme for the last couple of days. Mm-hmm. And there's a huge mental health aspect to this, which is why the local family resource centre came on board with me, and so we've started a bit of a campaign here in Sligo. We're issuing information leaflets for tenants, because part of the problem as well is that receivers, when they're appointed to manage these properties, some of them are choosing to keep the tenants in the properties, but where the bank wants to sell, the receivers aren't necessarily complying with their statutory obligations under the Residential Tenancies Act. And I would suggest to Roisin that she contact Threshold in her situation, because they're an excellent advice body.
Yeah, absolutely. But she asked, I think Roisin is gone, but she was making the point that she might have to get to the stage where she's actually homeless. So Threshold's a great organisation. Sue Gogan, thanks indeed. 51551, Sue is at Sligo.